Whatever the adventure, there's a BMW engineered to take it on. The X3 delivers a striking design with agile performance. The 100% electric i4 packed with pure electric energy. Or the plug-in hybrid X5, an impressive, versatile SUV granting full control on every journey. Choose what powers your next adventure during the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine.
Hurry in for exceptional offers through December 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
We are honored to talk to the former head coach of the Washington Redskins and offensive coordinator for a couple of NFL teams and our NFL analyst on air and on the road. Jay Gruden is driven by the Ted Britt Automotive Group. Ted Britt Ford in Chantilly and Fairfax, F-150 headquarters, Ted Britt Chantilly, Lincoln, and Ted Britt Chevrolet in Sterling, all home of Ted Britt for Life. Lifetime vehicle coverage, see and shop them all at TedBritt.com. And without further ado, Jay Gruden joins us on the BetQL guest hotline. Hello, Jay. How are you?
Hello, Chris. I'm doing just fine.
Great. Good to have you, as always. So there's so many ways I wanted to start with you. I mean, obviously, we don't have to talk about the Commanders as much, but I still want to get there because you said on this spot, on this show, well, in the spot a week ago, that you really thought Jaden Daniels' ribs were still bothering him. I assume with what you saw on Thursday night, you're still fairly convinced of that?
Yeah, I don't think it's so much that he can't tolerate it. I just think they're being very protective of it. He is, too, because, you know, those things can be sore. I've had them before, and last thing you want to do is run into a pile and get hit again. You know, I think his throwing motion looks okay. I just think his ability to run has just been limited a little bit. And that's a big factor because that's really what he's special at, one of his attributes anyway.
Yeah, no doubt about it. Was there anything besides Jaden which would severely concern you or strongly concern you with the Commanders moving forward? Or do you chalk that up to, man, two games against two really good defenses in the span of 5 days after a long, long stretch here?
Yeah, I think a lot has to do with the Thursday game with the young quarterback. Those are always tough. You know, if you have a veteran quarterback, it's not so much because he's very familiar with a lot of different plays and a lot of different play concepts. When you have a young quarterback, you might have to put in a few new concepts for a new defense. It's hard to get them all rep during the week because you're probably just doing walkthroughs. So that's a little bit more difficult. Thursday night games are harder on younger players than they are for veteran players. But let's chalk that up. And you know, I think there's some miscommunication there too, which I think can point to the fact they didn't have enough time to prepare.
Yeah. You know, J.O., people always talk about, so what? Them's the breaks, right? You got to play the schedule. You know me. I care a lot about the schedule, and I always thought you got screwed as the head coach on these really wackadoo short weeks and tough turnarounds and, you know, Monday night road game and Sunday afternoon road game and all that stuff. I care a lot about that stuff. You just outlined some of the issues with that. The NFL says, well, guys don't get hurt more on Thursday nights than they do on Sundays. My thing is, guys can't recover. Guys can't prepare mentally, physically, emotionally. Guys can't get healthier, whereas maybe they would be able to play on a Sunday, or they would be, I don't know, 80% instead of 70% or whatever it is by playing on a Thursday night. Do you buy any of that, or is it just, man, that's the way it is, and everybody, you know, has kind of the same situation?
Yeah, I do buy some of that. There are some players that would possibly play on a Sunday that may not be able to play on a Thursday. And maybe, you know, instead of being 90%, they're 70%. Mm-hmm. They're not running their full capacity. And mentally, I think it's tough on a lot of guys because, you know, I don't think the NFL people really understand how much detail goes into a game plan, how hard it is to come up with a game plan for all the situations that come up. And this is a preseason where it doesn't really matter if you win or lose. This is a regular season game. It's very important. And it's a division game at that with division leaders. You know, you have an important game like that with only 3 or 4 days of work on it. You're playing on the road. You're leaving on Wednesday. Just played a hard game on Sunday. It's tough on those guys. It's tough on the coaches as well.
Yeah, no doubt about it. Jay Gruden with us, as always, spelling out the truth. All right, let's get to some of yesterday's action. So we were just talking about the Ravens and the Steelers. You know, look, Steelers are a good team. I think we all recognize that. They win a game without scoring an offensive touchdown, a bunch of field goals. Chris Boswell, one of the best. You know, Danny Smith, always, you know, good on that side of the ball. But the Baltimore equation in this, Jay, is hard to kind of figure out, right? You lose a game by two. There's no insult in that, in division, that rivalry, all that. But Derrick Henry, 13 touches. Derrick Henry not on the field for the two-point conversion. Derrick Henry, no touches, I guess, in the entire fourth quarter. How do you make heads or tails out of that?
Well, if you look at the game, the fourth quarter, he did have a touch. They threw him a screen pass for a gain of 15, and he got called back for illegal man downfield. Then I think Lamar threw a pick on the next play. Pittsburgh went on to have a very long drive, and they came back, and I think they were down 8, and they had to go two-minute drill, basically. So they didn't really get a chance to utilize Derrick Henry in the fourth quarter. A two-point play I can't really explain. I think he should have been out there. If anything else, if they want to run a bootleg or something like that, fine. The quarterback designed run was not against the optimal front. It was a terrible front. Pittsburgh was in base defense. Aguilar had to block an outside linebacker. He blew it up. It was just a poor play call against that personnel grouping that Pittsburgh put on the field. But the Derrick Henry thing, I can kind of understand. I've been in that situation before. You know, you got to put Justice Hill out there as a pass threat, down 8. You know, that was a long drive. And they got in the end zone. They just didn't get the two-pointer.
I understand all of that, but, you know, you mentioned they did target Derrick Henry once in the fourth. I mean, I'm not saying he's a great receiver, but, like, I don't know. To me, I would want that threat out there so that they think it's at least going to him, right? As opposed to not having him out there, even though maybe you have better person. And Harbaugh was saying today, I think it was today, or maybe it was after last night's game, you know, that we're shuttling in personnel. That's just not the personnel package that we had for that particular play call. But to me, I would want Henry out there so that everybody's thinking the ball's going to Henry, and then maybe you run a little play action, or at least the threat of Derrick Henry being out there so you could loosen up something else in the passing game.
Yeah, on a two-point play. But in a two-minute drill, when you're down 8, you need Justice Hill out there. He's a way better pass catcher. You know, they tried to wheel around. He had a big play, actually, a 20-yard gain, I think, to really get the drive going. Yep. Absolutely on a two-point play. That's only 2.5 yards away. And the inside zone, the power plays, the duo plays, they're all still a threat. So the play actions and the bootlegs off of there, like you said, are much better, especially against base defense.
Yeah.
You know, they had five big guys, and they had four bigs and three linebackers out there. And then Baltimore's an 11 personnel. That is not suitable for a quarterback design run.
The other big game, obviously, was the Bills handing the Chiefs their first loss. I don't think anybody was shocked by this. But clearly the call by and the decision by Sean McDermott on 4th and 2 and then the execution, Josh Allen, what can you say about him? Superman, when they could have, you know, easily said, hey, like, let's kick a field goal here, and then Kansas City would have to score a touchdown to beat us. If you were in that position to make that call, do you think you would have gone for it, or do you think you would have taken the field goal and risked that Patrick Mahomes wasn't going to beat you?
My quarterback, Josh Allen, I'd probably go for it.
Go for it.
Yeah. I mean, they call
it helps to have Josh Allen is basically what you're saying.
It's funny. They called a bad play. They called a man beater into his zone, and Josh Allen just took off and ran. It's unbelievable. You know, that's the type of guy that he is. He can make an offensive coordinator look like a genius. Oh, what a great call by the offensive coordinator. I can't believe McDermott went for it. They actually called a bad play. But Josh made the most of it.
So when you say, all right, so I guess take me through that. When you say they called the bad play, I understand what you're talking about, man beater and zone and all that. Like, when they're signaling down the play, right, they're not getting a chance all the time to necessarily look at how Kansas City is lining up, right? They have to just guess how Kansas City is going to line up pre-snap when you call a man beater type play.
Yeah, a lot of times you call a man beater, you line up in a formation that'll tell you if it's man or not. Put a tight end outside, see if a safety goes out there. If the corner stays out there, you know it's zone. Maybe put a back outside. If the backer runs out there, you know it's man.
Sure.
There's a lot of ways to find if it's man or zone. And then if it is zone, then you have a zone beater, whether it's a run or some kind of zone beater as well. Yeah. So there's ways to tell. I'm surprised they didn't have that done. But when you have Josh Allen, you know, just call the man beater, and if they zone it off, pass it off, then Josh, you just run for 25-yard touchdown.
Yeah, that helps. That helps. Does that game and that result tell you anything moving forward besides it's just a great Week 11 win and it's the first loss for the Chiefs? Or do you still need to see Buffalo in a big spot in January close the deal like they did yesterday?
Well, obviously that's going to happen eventually. But yes, I think they have all the ability to do that with him at quarterback, and their defense playing pretty damn good. And obviously Kansas City has to answer the question, who's another weapon? They got to get Pacheco back. Worthy's got to become more of a factor downfield. He can't catch balls and run out of bounds all the time. And they got to get the tackles figured out. I think the AFC is pretty much open with Buffalo and Kansas City. And you look at the Chargers and Justin Herbert, the way he's throwing the ball, and Baltimore, of course, and Pittsburgh's way they play defense. You know, there's a lot of teams that come out of the AFC, I think.
Yeah, no doubt. Jay Gruden with us, brought to you by the Ted Britt Automotive Group as we spin around the NFL. If you missed a couple of minutes ago, Jay talking about Jaden Daniels and the Commanders offense moving forward. Make sure you podcast this spot after the show on the Odyssey app or the team980.com or hit rewind. All right, so you mentioned the Chargers. Obviously, they had the big lead. Justin Herbert looked great. Then they seemingly fell asleep. Joe Burrow comes alive. Once again, the officials miss another quarterback face mask. And once again, we have no system to replay it, even though we actually have a system, or to review it, I should say. And then Burrow completes the comeback, but then they leave too much time on the clock. And the Chargers come right back with the big rushing touchdown late. That game was wild, obviously, and it probably seals the deal on Cincinnati, but it absolutely keeps the Chargers, like you said, in contention for, you know, one of the top AFC playoff spots.
Yeah, for sure. Very unlike McPherson to miss two field goals as well. That's unbelievable. Yeah. That was a hell of a game, hell of a comeback. And it's just been Cincinnati's MO this year. They played a lot of close games, lost a lot of 3 points. They can't seal the deal. They have something to come up, whether it's a defense, a kicking game, or an interception late, or whatever it was. They just can't get out of their own way in crunch time. So that's what I really improve on. If they could probably got to win out to get the 10-7 or 9-8 to have a chance, but that's going to be a long shot with the schedule that they have.
No doubt, 34-27, the final score there at SoFi. I wanted to ask you about Raheem Morris, Kirk Cousins, and the Falcons. I mean, obviously they got drubbed. That's neither here nor there. I think everybody, you know, understands that Bo Nix is coming alive and Sean Payton was a good fit for him and so on and so forth. And Denver's defense tough, and that's a tough place to play. But the decision at the end of the first half to throw basically, you know, an out route near the sideline with no timeouts and 10 seconds left, theoretically, Jay, it makes sense. But again, if you don't operate that, if you don't execute that perfectly and get out of bounds, you screw yourself and you don't have a chance, as opposed to going for the Hail Mary, which a lot of people thought, well, maybe they should, maybe they shouldn't, what have you. I wanted to get your thought on that particular situation and I guess how you kind of decide, all right, do we go for the Hail Mary or do we try and squeeze one more play here, even with the risk of not having any timeouts?
Hail Marys at halftime are kind of scary to me because I've seen Hail Marys get intercepted, run back for touchdowns. You know what I mean? They're just a little scary to me. You want to take a shot, that's fine, but if you have the ability to get it up to field goal range with an out route, I'd rather take that route. You know, obviously it's got to go right, like you said, but I didn't see that game. That wasn't on TV where I was at.
Gotcha.
But I can understand why they would try to get the out route and try to bomb a field goal because they do have a kicker that could kick it through the roof. So I can imagine that's what they're thinking. Trying to get to 3 points, it's a lot easier than trying to throw up a Hail Mary and avoid a sack and a turnover, a sack fumble or something like that.
Yeah, and I guess why that caught my attention was because a lot of people thought, oh, you know, like when Jaden and the Commanders did not throw a Hail Mary at the end of the first half on Thursday night, that was a pure indication that he just couldn't do it and that he's hurting and what have you. So I was paying a little more attention to that in that spot with the result the way it was. And I guess, like, you say the return. I just say, like, you know, Hail Marys are such a low percentage play. I'd rather try something else. And they clearly tried to get two plays in. One other part, and again, I know you didn't get to watch that game, but just from a coaching philosophy standpoint, you know, Raheem in a 14-3 game went for it on 4th-and-1 from his own 39-yard line, and they converted. Kirk made a great pass right in a zone, and they got it. But I wanted to ask you this: when you're a struggling offense, as they were in this particular case, down 14-3, you have a bad defense, which you know a thing or two. You didn't always have the greatest defenses here. How tempted were you in those spots to just say, screw it, I got to keep the ball on offense, I got to go for it, even if it's on my side of the field, I've got to make sense, I can't punt it away because we're just going to give up 7? Like, from a coaching philosophy standpoint, has that really changed over the last 3 to 5 years, or was that like constantly a thing in your mind? I can't punt it, I can't give it away because my defense can never make a stop.
That has a lot to do with it. Sometimes, you know, I can remember going forward against Green Bay against Aaron Rodgers from our own 35, you know, 4th-and-1. Because damn sure you don't want to punt it back to them, put your defense back on the field and just watch them go right down the field. So, yeah, that plays a lot into it. That's why I say analytics are silly because every situation is different. Every offense is different. Every defense is different. The personnel on the field are different. The situation is different. So I think it's a feeling by your coach, and I think at that time it was necessary for Raheem to go for it. Just try to get a spark, too. You know, if you get it, you know, everybody might get a spark, get a little bit excited, might, you know, turn it around a little bit, momentum changes. If you don't get it, obviously the risk is pretty big, but you know, if you do get it, I think the reward's a lot better than the risk in that situation.
Yeah, no, I hear you. And I guess I'm a risk guy as opposed to a reward guy. So maybe it depends on your mentality, your philosophy, right? You know, I'm a little bit more conservative by nature. I'm always thinking, well, what if it does? I understand why you do it if it works. What if it doesn't work? You're putting your bad defense even in more peril. But either way, I understand where you're coming from. Wanted to get your thoughts on Anthony Richardson. I know what kind of specimen he is. He played great yesterday. Got it. Road win. Jets. You know, the Jets came alive after a terrible start. All of that. But, man, I keep thinking every time he lowers the boom, which I know he's got to kind of do, especially inside the five, and he was successful at it, that he's going to get injured. How do you kind of, like, look at a guy like Anthony Richardson, who's clearly got the body, the prototype, the size, the speed, the athleticism to do all that you want him to do, but he's been hurt a lot, and how do you kind of manage that?
Well, I think that's a strength, and you have to utilize. That's why I have a backup like Joe Flacco. You have to have a good backup, because for Anthony to be successful at quarterback in the National Football League, a la Cam Newton, you have to have quarterback design runs to really even out the box for you as a play caller. And those are the plays that you have to have in your game. You can't expect him to just drop back and be a drop back quarterback. He's got to be able to run lower shoulder quarterback. These are true quarterback design runs between the tackles, not like Jaden Daniels' own reads get out on the perimeter. I'm talking between the between the tackles, power, you know, quarterback draws up in there, bunch of crunches where you're pinning the end and getting outside like he did on a 2-point on a touchdown to win it. He's got to have those. You know, doesn't have to go crazy, but he's got to have like 7 or 8 of those a game for them to be successful. And then if something happens, he's got to learn how to protect himself, obviously, but then you got to put in Flacco. But that's his strength. You have to utilize his strength in a game when you're calling plays.
All right, Green Bay, Chicago ended controversially with the blocked field goal. So I wanted to ask you this. Like, Eberflus is taking a lot of heat for not running another play, with the final play from scrimmage being at 30 seconds or so, and they had one timeout, and they chose not to run a play, and then they get the blocked field goal. Would you have absolutely run a play there? Would you have done what Eberflus did? Do you think it had any impact on the block of Cairo Santos?
Well, the issue was they had one timeout. They wanted to save it, obviously, for the kick. So they were in. They would have had to go no huddle and get to a formation and get to a run, which is not that hard to do. But there is a chance Green Bay goes all out, loads up the box, and tackles you for a loss or whatever. There are some issues. It's not a guaranteed 5-yard run just because you're going no huddle and running the ball. And, you know, all these guys, these experts, hey, run another play. Well, what play you want me to run? You know, you want me to drop back with Caleb Williams, who's a rookie, and throw it to DJ Moore, get a tipped and intercepted? Then you really look like an idiot.
Yeah.
I feel for Eberflus on that one. That's a tough one. I would like to see him run another play, like between the tackles, like a gap blocking play that's pretty safe. Try to get 2 or 3 more yards. That would have been ideal. And then call a timeout. But, you know, he chose to do, you know, probably the conservative way out, get a kick. And then, you know, the block kick was illegal. I mean, I don't know why people don't talk about that.
Oh, I was just going to ask you that. Because they just absolutely engulfed him, right, with 3 different guys, right?
3 guys. You can't do it 1 guy, let alone 3. I mean, that's unbelievable. So, I don't know. These referees on the field goal block teams are missing the boat a little bit.
Yeah, what a surprise. Kyle Shanahan and the 49ers blow another one late at home. There's all sorts of talk from some pockets that Kyle, if they don't make the playoffs, get fired. What do you make out of San Francisco? Is it just injuries, or is there something missing there that is different from previous years in your eyes?
San Fran has plenty of talent. You know, I get tired of hearing they get more injury excuses than anybody I've ever heard of in my life. There's a lot of teams with a lot of different injuries, but nobody gets this type of baby in that they get for whatever reason. Kyle's a great football coach, but there's no reason for them to lose to Seattle yesterday. They got plenty of weapons. They got McCaffrey. They got Debo. They got Brent Jennings. They got good players. Mm. Trent Williams. They got good defensive players. You know, they got more good players than Seattle does. I promise you that. But, you know, it's...
This holiday, BMW has reunited 3 members of the family at the BMW Road Home Sales Event. The Agile X3, engineered for any adventure. The plug-in hybrid X5, commanding the streets with unmatched presence. And the all-electric i4, charging into the future with impeccable performance. Hurry in to find what powers your journey at the BMW Roadhome Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine. Hurry in for exceptional offers through December 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
Tough. You know, I don't think he should get fired, but I think he is underachieving a little bit this year. There's still a long way to go. I still think San Fran's a major player in the NFC. I think they're going to get it right. Brock just can't throw interceptions, and they got to protect the ball a little bit better. But I think the heat should be on a little bit, but I don't think any way in hell that he gets fired.
All right, one last one for you. Jay Gruden with us, Ted Britt Automotive Group, as always, each and every Monday at 3 o'clock here, normally recapping a Commanders game, but they played on Thursday night, so we spent just a couple of minutes on them. Daniel Jones benched today by Brian Daboll and the Giants. Nobody should be surprised by that. I don't know if you make heads or tails over Tommy DeVito versus Drew Lock, but do you think this is more a football decision or a financial decision? And I know the financial part of it is complicated, but you know they got the injury guarantees and the cap and all that stuff. Because to me, I think it's certainly both, Jay, but I don't know if it's just a pure football decision.
Yeah, I don't know either. I don't know exactly what the salary cap is about and how much guaranteed money he has, but he deserves to be benched. I mean, he's been bad. He's had guys open. He hasn't pulled the trigger. He hasn't used his athleticism like he should. They should be a lot better than they are. Their running game's not bad. Tyrone Tracy's running the ball very well. They have true number one receiver, Malik Nabers. I know he's missed a couple games. So I don't know what the deal is with their offense. Their line's not great. I get it, but he just has not performed up to the level of a high-paid quarterback should. So give Danny DeVito a chance, and I think next year they're going to have to blow up the building. You know, I don't know, new coach, new quarterback, if they can do that in a year, but something has to change because they have not done anything close to what their ability should be.
No doubt. A lot of stuff going on. All right, and one last one. I got to squeeze this in. What do you think of your brother getting a new job? Barstool Sports? What's going on here?
Yeah, I don't know what the heck's going on there. I know he's doing a lot of shows on YouTube, but feeling nicey stuff. But now he's working with Portnoy and those guys. That'll be an interesting combination. That's like, I don't know. John likes the attention. John likes the limelight. So does Portnoy. They might butt heads eventually, but they'll be good for each other.
That's a peppery combination, man. You're right. Just all of those Barstool guys, but especially Portnoy.
They're going to have the cameras pointing everywhere on that one. They both want the cameras on themselves, that's for sure.
I've seen some clips already. John looks very he looks very amused by what's going on there. All right, good for him. Jay, as always, I appreciate you. Sorry for keeping you so long. Thank you. Talk to you again next week, all right?
You got it. Thanks, Chris.
All right. That is Jay Gruden on air and on the road. Jay Gruden driven by the Ted Britt Automotive Group, Ted Britt Ford in Chantilly and Fairfax, the F-150 headquarters, Ted Britt Chantilly Lincoln, and Ted Britt Chevrolet in Sterling, home of Ted Britt for Life. Lifetime vehicle covered. See and shop them all at TedBritt.com.
This holiday, BMW has reunited three members of the family at the BMW Roadhome Sales Event. The Agile X3, engineered for any adventure. The plug-in hybrid X5, commanding the streets with unmatched presence. And the all-electric i4, charging into the future with impeccable performance. Hurry in to find what powers your journey at the BMW Roadhome Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine.
Hurry in for exceptional offers through December 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.